I initially asked today's guest on the show when I learned about his super successful truck studio, and we did talk about that, but he also shared so much else, including what gave him the confidence to take out a loan to build this business. I'm talking about Ryan Erickson, who last year in his very first year of full-time business turned over more than $200,000 from 150 clients spending an average of $1,500 each. There's tons of really great insights and learnings in the first part of this episode, but if you want to know how he found those clients and hear the benefits of his business plan and what that actually included, be sure to listen to the members only half. If you're not yet a member to catch that second half, you can use the link in the show notes to sign up with a 14-day trial.
Welcome to the Pet Photographers Club. Tune in as experts share their insights to help grow your business with higher sales, creative marketing, and kick-ass business strategies. Now on to the show.
Hello and welcome back to season 16, episode 2 of the Pet Photographers Club. I'm your host, Kirsty McConnell, and today I'm chatting with Ryan Erickson of Fetch Photo Truck. Welcome to the club, Ryan.
Hey, Kirsty, happy to be here. Wow, 16 seasons? That's incredible. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I know. When I say it out loud like that for recording every time, like, this is season 5, this is season 12, yeah. Whatever. Every time I'm like, wow, are we up to that already? Which is pretty exciting. So yeah, guys, actually, if you're listening and you're new to the podcast, definitely go and dig into the archives because, you know, there's tons of topics in there for you guys to learn from. But today we're chatting with Ryan, who's doing something a little bit different. And I'm, you know, pretty intrigued as to how you're making all of this work, Ryan. But before we get into that, I'm going to pass it over to you and let you introduce yourself to the audience, who you are, where you're based in the world, and what it is that you do with your pet photography.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so I am a dog photographer based in Denver, Colorado, beautiful Rocky Mountains. And yeah, I am a recovering wedding photographer. So my experience with photography started out with weddings, did weddings for 15 years. Got a Bachelor of Fine Arts in photography. And I think the studio that I was working, the wedding studio I was working for early on, really just kind of gave me a lot of the business skills that I can apply now in my business. So super, super grateful for that. Helped that business grow to one of the more well-known wedding studios here in Colorado. And it was during the pandemic. I think a lot of us have stories of how those years affected us. And that really kind of shook me out of my routine of being a wedding photographer and just kind of used to that schedule and that routine. You know, we were on unemployment for that time. It was really a tough time, as some of you who might have done weddings and events. That was really, really, really rad time. So yeah, that forced me to think like, hey, you know, I turned 40 during the pandemic. And that's, I think, naturally a time where we reflect and look back and think, all right, how was the last 20 years of my life? And, you know, what do I want the next 20 years to look like? There was a lot of that reflection going on during that time. And that mixed with all of the uncertainty in the world really made me think like, God, do I want to be doing weddings for the next 10 years? And the answer was no. So it was a backyard barbecue that I was with friends, you know, that time when we were doing all the social distancing and all that and staying with close people. We're talking about our dogs and how much we love our dogs and the experiences we love giving them and the money that we spend on them. And that had sparked a memory that I had early on in my career where I'd done a fundraiser for the rescue that I had got my dog Lab Louie at the time. And it was a huge success. It was great on social media. We raised lots of money and people bringing in dog food, all that stuff. But it didn't make sense for that studio that I'd worked for at the time because they were wedding and, you know, family portraits. So I'd honestly just kind of forgotten about that experience. But it was at that barbecue that I kind of connected the memory of that, of how much joy that brought me and how much fun that was, and got me thinking like, what if I was a dog photographer? So that's kind of really where that was birthed. And then, yeah, just kind of the process of evolving into a mobile studio. So once I decided, okay, I'm going to do this crazy idea of being a dog photographer from a wedding photographer, I was thinking, what does that look like? Am I going to be a studio photographer? Am I going to, you know, get a brick and mortar space, or am I going to continue with being more kind of natural light, like going outdoors and meeting people at parks and all that stuff? Well, using the experience that I had of all those challenges, as many of you know, of like working outside, if that's the elements, it's, you know, the weather here in Colorado, we're four seasons. We see 100 degree days and we see 5 degree days and snow and rain and wind and all of that. And I've been through those experiences of having to reschedule a session and the frustrations of that, and working with people's calendars, you know, getting up into the foothills at 6 p.m. on a Thursday to catch that golden hour, that beautiful light. All of that mixed now with the idea of introducing a dog into that, and like, hey, you know, are dogs even allowed to be off leash? Are we comfortable doing that? Or are there going to be other dogs around? All of those elements started popping up into my head. It's like, oh, that sounds like it's going to be stressful for me and for the client. And so I was really trying to think through the process of how to make it as easy as possible, the least amount of obstacles for people who find out about me, they connect with my work, to be able to say yes. That's really kind of what, you know, I kind of used my history of being a wedding photographer to kind of use a lot of the things that I found that worked, and then also the things that I wasn't crazy about and how I could change that. So yeah, that's how I decided, okay, I'm going to be a studio photographer. And I knew I didn't want to have to manage like a brick and mortar space to pay rent or, you know, mortgage somewhere, again, because of the experiences I saw from my boss in the wedding studio, just how difficult that was to kind of keep that running and all that. So then all of this mixed together with some of my past life experiences of being a cook. I worked restaurants for 10 years early on. That's what paid my way through college, and had always appreciated food trucks. Been a popular thing here in the States. And I always loved the business plan of a food truck, that, you know, you just pick the few items that, you know, you want to really be known for and be good at and do that really well and make it convenient for people to have access. So kind of was inspired by that. Also during the pandemic, a lot of people were, you know, selling their homes or renting out their homes and, you know, traveling in their RVs across the country and touring the country. And there was just a lot of that energy going on. So I was thinking, okay, well, people are turning their, you know, trailers into permanent residences and traveling the country. What if I put a photo studio in there? So all of that kind of mixed together was kind of laid the platform and the ground for being a mobile dog photographer.
All right. So Ryan, this is amazing. I mean, I love how you really thought about it. You didn't just, you know, you didn't just happen upon, you know, oh, you have a dog, you photographed it lots of times, people saw your photos, and then you just continued with that. You know, that's most of our stories, not to take away from that. Of course, that has its own path, but you've really purposely gone out and made the transition and ensured, which we haven't got to this yet, but I know you have, ensured that it was also a profitable transition, which I'm guessing you needed it to be after, you know, not having worked during COVID for yeah, quite a period. But how did you come up with the idea? I mean, you just mentioned about the food trucks, sure. That did that little light bulb moment in your brain of, oh, this could be dogs. Had you seen somebody else doing it? Because, I mean, we have interviewed Beth Alexander quite a while ago now, and I'll pop the link to that podcast in the show notes for you guys. And I think it was season 13, episode 2, and she's doing that in Canada, I think she is. Yeah. So had you seen her, or did you find her afterwards once you had the idea? How did that all come about, Ryan?
Yeah, she was definitely part of my story early on. So yeah, if you know me, I'm a very kind of meticulous person. I'm, you know, a stubborn Taurus, so I'm slow to move on things. I'm very methodical in my processes. So I have to, like, you know, if I have an idea, I have to like mull it over in my head and work through all the possibilities and all the pluses and the minuses and all of that stuff. So when I had the general idea, of course, I go to Google. It's like, well, if I've had this idea, surely somebody else is doing this, right? And wasn't finding anybody here in the States, at least that existed, you know, on Google. But then, yeah, I did come across Beth's website and saw her trailer. And essentially the vision that I had in my head, I saw from like the videos and photos that she had posted, like, whoa, that's what I was imagining doing, kind of thing. So yeah, I reached out to her. She was very gracious and kind of helped me with early on things of like, yes, do, you know, go this direction, or yeah, you need this type of trailer, or, you know, some of the more technical side of things. And she actually has a kind of like a blueprint to some of the secrets that she's learned with her process that I think is available to purchase if you reached out to her. So yeah, she definitely helped out. And then she also connected me with her business coach. That was pretty key to my early on success of just, you know, having a mentor and somebody to kind of help me out with getting started. So yeah, thank goodness for Google.
Absolutely. What would we do otherwise? Well, we have to ask our parents, I think.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. So you've transitioned from weddings into pets. You decided along the way that yes, you're going to open as a you wanted to do studio, so you didn't have to fight with all the natural elements and this kind of thing. And then you've come up with this idea of doing the truck. You've had the help from Beth, and then you've kind of put all the pieces together in working with, I think you told me before recording, Alex for your coaching.
Yep.
Amazing. And guys, if you don't know Alex, don't worry. I'm also going to put a link to her coaching in the show notes too, because she's a superstar. But early on, you mentioned that what first tweaked the idea of becoming a pet photographer was at this barbecue when you were all talking about your pets, and it reminded you about doing this fundraiser. So I have to ask you, did you launch your business this time around, or this business, with any kind of fundraisers as well, knowing that that was so successful back whenever you did that? Or is that not an avenue that you've gone down with this business?
Yeah, I have. It's not necessarily how I started, but I have sought out, you know, whether it's charity events or, you know, local dog nonprofits to figure out how to, you know, give my services. Like most recently, I went to Four Paws for Life and, you know, updated their like pup intake photos, right? So they're like adoption photos, which are classically like really not all that great, right? And so with my mobile setup, it's really easy to go down to their space, and it makes it, you know, easy because a lot of times they don't have a lot of extra space, right? So them coming into my studio where it's nice and quiet and reserved, like the dogs can get more relaxed, and it'll really allow me to get those more, you know, kind of candid, you know, natural expressions versus that snapshot that they're able to take just before they, you know, put them away. So that's been my experience with, you know, maybe connection with kind of the fundraisers and giving back. Honestly, that's been the most beneficial, just to have social media content, right? Because I try my best to like do as much videos and do like before and after photos. And this most recent one, they had pictures that they were able to share of when the dog got adopted and like that family that adopted them. So it was just like a really good feel good, like, hey, here's the pup's before photo, here's the photo I took, and here's the photo of them being adopted with their family kind of thing. So it felt really good. And that's mostly been great for just kind of growing social media and connecting with new people, but also making my current followers just feel good about who they're supporting, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, amazing. That's been the tactic early on. I'd like to seek out more, you know, ways to make best use of time, not necessarily to make money, but to, again, just kind of raise that awareness, I think is the biggest, you know, power that we have is with our skills as photographers.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. That's interesting that, I mean, most of us pet photographers, we do have some kind of charitable aspect, especially with, you know, doing profile photos or something like that, but which is great. It's really lovely to see everybody always donating their time. I just wondered if you were, you know, doing that fundraiser method like you did early on as a way to make money for yourself as well, or even just like grow your portfolio or something like that, because I'm guessing that you had an amazing wedding portfolio, but you probably didn't have any dogs when you started. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So it started out with maybe some friends. So I did use the connections that I had from the wedding world of clients who had dogs, whether the dogs were at the wedding or not, that I could like reach out to and say, hey, I'm starting this new thing. I'm really excited about it. And here's, you know, some of my ideas. Are you interested? So yeah, it started out really kind of grassroots there. Because yeah, I was noticing as a wedding photographer, especially here in Colorado, I mean, if any of you know Colorado, it's a huge, you know, dog loving state, I think always wins the award for best place to be a dog, you know, as far as the love that we give our pets and the experiences that we give them and all of that. So yeah.
So Ryan, I'm quite interested if, so hang on, I'm just trying to put all the pieces together in my head.
Yeah.
Of what the journey looked like. So you didn't have a dog portfolio. You hadn't worked professionally with dogs before, but you decided instead of like doing the easy thing, like all of us, just photographing dogs in pretty sunsets or whatever, to build this mobile studio straight off the bat. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. And, you know, as far as like starting a new business, once I had that idea, so it was March of 2021. So it's been 3 years now that I had the idea. And then I think by May or June, I did my first session. So between like, yeah, having the idea, finding the trailer that I use. And if any of you guys are curious, if you haven't gone to, you know, social media yet or whatever, on Instagram, I actually have like a video of the, like it's a quick 30-second video of the setup of the trailer that you guys might be able to kind of more clearly envision. My website also has like a little commercial if you go to fetchphototruck.com. But yeah, I guess it was pretty quick. And I think I just was lucky enough to have those first few people that trusted me from their past experiences of working with me, and they knew they loved dogs. And, you know, yes, I was new at photographing dogs, but I had, you know, 16 years of, you know, professional photography experience. And then, you know, from being, you know, going to school for photography. So I was confident that I could quickly kind of figure that out. Yeah. Now, if I were to show you those first dozen or so sessions that I did that people paid good money for kind of thing, I'm, you know, not necessarily as proud of that, but I think we all have those stories, right? But it just goes to show that it's not just the photos that we take and that kind of end product, but it's the experience that we're offering those pet parents to, you know, with my mobile setup, the fact I'm coming to people's homes, it feels very kind of custom to them, and like a treat that this service is coming to their home for their dog. You know, that's a pretty cool thing, right? And the pet parents are part of the session, they're in the trailer the whole time. So me getting to see like how well they're doing and how cute they are for photos. And then, you know, one thing we can touch on, I also do same day sales. So since I'm at their home, I'm able to like edit the photos on the spot and show them photos and just kind of build off that excitement. So just that whole experience that we're creating for them. Yeah, it was more than just the end photo. People kind of trusted and saw, connected with my vision. And I think that's really what, you know, helped me get started.
Ryan, I want to get into all of that a bit more. I'm going to save it for the premium members, actually, about, you know, what the entire experience looks like, because it does sound like you're, you know, you're creating this really beautiful experience for the client and for their dog as well.
Yeah.
And the same day sales and a bit of marketing as well. I want to get into all of that in the second half of this interview. Sure. But just before we wrap up the first half, yeah, I want to get into this a bit more about like the confidence maybe that you had to have, I suppose, because if you're happy to share the numbers, but you've invested a significant amount of money in, first of all, building or purchasing and then building and fitting out this mobile studio. Then you mentioned that you've done some coaching and a few, you know, other things along the way. We all know the cost of starting a business. So you haven't tried to do it the cheap way and see like, is it going to work or whatever. You've just like thrown everything in and gone at it. So there was some confidence behind that. You know, yes, of course, you mentioned that, you know, you have all this experience shooting, but that's not the same as running a studio. I mean, the business side is usually where most people get caught out. And I know you definitely haven't been. I know you're kicking goals. We'll talk numbers in just a second. But do you have any kind of tips or advice that you could give to somebody listening, thinking like, God, I wish I had those, you know, that confidence that Ryan has?
Yeah, I wish there was like a potion, a bottle that I took that just kind of gave that to me. You know, I really do think it came from those hard times during COVID some of us were really kind of forced to like just really dig deep and figure out like what was most important to us. And for me, I knew like moving forward, like my time was really important. I was seeing, you know, the salary that I was making as a wedding photographer with that studio and the amount of time that I was really, you know, just killing myself for another person's dream, right? That just really gave me the fuel that had probably been building up for years and years, that in that space of like, Ryan, this is your time to like pivot and do something totally different. And there was enough of that kind of fuel built up that even through all of the risks, and I classically am pretty kind of risk adverse. So, you know, starting Fetch definitely was kind of out of my character. So yeah, I just simply, they say it all, you know, inspirational coaches and stuff say it all the time, just, you know, believing in yourself, and you have an idea, stick to it. And if you believe it, it comes true. Like those things are, it's, you know, the biggest secrets out there are pretty simple at times, right? So yeah, I don't know if there was like a magic saying that I said to myself each day. I just kind of had that gut feeling that this felt like it was something new, something fun. I used data knowing that I was in a community that really loved dogs. So I knew that there was the chance for that. I did some research of, you know, market research of how, you know, how much people spend on their dogs in the pet industry, which is just a huge, huge industry, right? So a little bit was balanced with data and facts, but a good majority of it was like, this is your chance, Ryan, to like make it or break it. And I, you know, because of my skills that I had adapted over, you know, as a professional over all those years, it was just enough for, to kind of carry me through to just be like, you just got to jump and do it.
I love that. Did you have a backup plan or like a, this has to work by XYZ date, or did you not even allow yourself to think of the possibility that it wouldn't work?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. So there was a bit of a cushion, right? So 2021, you know, I was still employed as like a wedding photographer for that entire year. So, and I had, you know, contracts, wedding contracts that year. So I knew, hey, if this doesn't work through the summer, I'm not getting the response that I had imagined. I know I could sell the trailer and, you know, not take much of a loss and kind of go back to shooting weddings. So there was a bit of that cushion. But pretty quickly, those first 3 months, I think I had like a $1,700 sale with my first few sessions. And that was kind of proof to me like, okay, this is something that's viable. This is something that could work for sure. But yeah, there was that backup plan that I could have gone back to being a wedding photographer.
Yeah, sometimes I think it can really help people, and other times it can hinder them, yeah. You know, depending on the personality, having that backup plan. I'm the opposite to you. I have to be like thrown in the deep end. Otherwise, I will not fight to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I noticed that early on with my business. I mean, warranted, I was only 21 years old when I started. So, you know, I was all ego and no idea really. But, you know, I found that when I had a part-time job, I kind of relied on that a little bit and didn't push myself in my business as much as I should have. And as soon as I decided, you know what, I have to, you know, give that up, this waitressing idea, and just make this happen like I want it to happen. And when I did that, and then I was looking at the option of being able to eat and feed my dog or not and go hungry, for me, I found a way to make it happen. You know, I got out there and I hustled marketing wise, and I listened to, you know, podcasts, and I read blogs and all of this kind of stuff so I could learn. And then I implemented everything because I didn't have a choice. And that's my personality. But I know that's not, you know, that's not everybody's. And it's really interesting to hear for you, Ryan, that, you know, having that kind of buffer, that cushion, that fallback plan, maybe that was a bit of what allowed you to have the confidence to just, you know, really go ahead. And I think that's, you know, really important to recognize for the listener as well, that, you know, which camp do you fall into? Will it help you or will it hinder you? Are you me or are you Ryan? You know, I think that's quite interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan. Oh, sorry. Carry on.
No, yeah. It goes to show there's really no one way to do this, right? We all have such unique stories. I'm sure you've chatted with all the photographers. There's no one specific recipe to it, but yeah, a big core part of it is just like believing in yourself and just kind of trusting in, you know, the ideas that you have and the experiences that you can kind of create with your photography.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, speaking of that, I do want to get into experiences, but I am going to leave that for the second half. I also want to ask you about market research, because you mentioned that really briefly, a little bit of marketing and maybe some sales tips if we get to that as well. But I am going to save that for part two, but let's wrap up part one now. Before we do that, how can the listener find you? You mentioned your website earlier and Instagram, but just drop that Instagram handle again for us.
Yeah, Fetch Photo Truck on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and fetchphototruck.com is my website. Yeah, I'd love for you guys to check that out and feel free to reach out with any questions.
Amazing. I will put all the links to everything mentioned in the show notes, guys, as always. So if you miss anything, just head on over to thepetphotographersclub.com/the-podcast. You can search for 1602 or Ryan, and you should be able to find this one. That is it for part one of this episode. If you are a member of the club, you can continue listening to part two in the member zone or via your private RSS feed in your favorite podcast player. Don't forget, if you're not a member yet, you can join today. It is just $10 a month. Club membership includes loads and loads of perks, like hearing the end of this episode and all the archives, premium content as well. So head on over to thepetphotographersclub.com to find out more.
Thanks for listening to the Pet Photographers Club. To subscribe to the podcast, check out other episodes, and keep up to date, head to thepetphotographersclub.com.